Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, we welcome you to this very amazing silsila where we will discuss the amazing lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his seerah and his blessed lifestyle. But in the very beginning, I urge you, as our Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, always encourages us, try to make as many good intentions as you can to gain maximum thawab. For example, I will listen to the silsila from beginning to end for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Alihi wa Sallam. I will diarize, I will note down the important points, I will try to practice upon them, I will try to encourage these points, these values, in the lifestyle of my spouse, my children, my other family members, my other members of society as well, Muslims who are out there. In this way, whatever other good intentions you can make, make them now inshallah ta'ala to gain maximum rewards and thawab. Indeed, there are countless benefits and blessings for those who recite abundant amount of durood-e-paak and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned, a very beautiful narration, listen carefully and sway in joy. The fourth Khalifa of Islam. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Mula Ali Karamallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem, has narrated this. That in Jannah, in paradise, there is a tree, and this tree has a fruit. This fruit is bigger than an apple and is smaller than a pomegranate. This fruit tastes sweeter than honey. And the branches of this tree are made of gold. The bark is made of chrysolite, a yellow greenish gem. And Sayyidina Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, لا يأكل منها إلا من أكثر من الصلاة على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the only person or people who will be given ijazah and permission to eat this fruit are those people who sent abundant kathra, who sent abundant durood-e-paak and salawat upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, today we are going to shed some light on the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stay with us inshallah ta'ala and be amazed. I would like to add that we are very fortunate, especially today, that not just we are discussing the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but is where we are at the grand court, the Darbar, the Mazar of Hazrat Ghulam Muhammad Sufi Siddiqui, better known as Hazrat Sufi Sahib Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, in this part of the world, Durban, South Africa. And we are taking his faizan as well and his blessings and mercies from Allah Azza wa Jal, which are descending here. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Ta'ala, this silsila, we will begin from the beginning, from the very beginning, and that is the ancestry, the genealogy and lineage of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The paternal lineage of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is as follows. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ibn, which means the son of Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, son of Abdul Muttalib, son of Hashim, son of Abd Munaf, son of Qusay, son of Kilab, son of Ka'ab, son of Lu'i, son of Ghalib, son of Fahr, son of Malik, son of Nadr, son of Kanana, son of Khuzaymah, son of Mudraka, son of Ilyas, son of Mudr, son of Nazar, son of Ma'ad, son of Adnan, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Now this lineage, the paternal lineage, is written and recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the maternal lineage of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, son of Amina, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, daughter of Wahab, son of Abd Munaf, son of Zuhra, son of Kilab, son of Murrah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Now both these genealogies, this lineage, meet at Kilab. And historians have derived this link as far as Adnan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But they are unanimous. They are ittifaq and unanimously agree to it through authentic narrations. Historians also agree that Adnan was a descendant of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, who was the son of Nabi Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when we're discussing the nobility of the ancestry of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi salam, I would love our dear viewers of Madani channel to listen attentively and be amazed by just the ancestry of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in his very beginning days. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage possessed a dignity unfound in any other family in the world. This family has such a high dignity and rank in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that no other family comes even near to their status and their rank. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. And their status, that is of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's family, is also acknowledged by strongest and ardent enemies of theirs, of Islam as well. When Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time he was not a Muslim. Later on, yes, he became a Muslim, he became a Sahabi. And as we know, every single Sahabi is guaranteed Jannah. Every single one. Therefore, at that time when Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was not a Muslim, in fact he was an ardent and staunch enemy of Islam and of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Once he was brought into the court of Heraqal, who at that time was the king of Rome. And the king of Rome, Heraqal, he questioned Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu about the family of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the ancestry of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And what did he reply? He replied that huwa fina dhu nasabin, that he is from a respected family. Subhanallah. Also recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now imagine, this was said by Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who at that time was not a Muslim, and also he was a staunch enemy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of Islam as well. And this could have been a perfect opportunity for him to tarnish the image of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spoke the truth, because it was well known. It was well known the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure and esteemed and very respectable in the sight of all the people. Therefore, he had to speak the truth, and though being an enemy at that time of Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's ascendants, that is those who came before him, they were very far from any defect that could be attributed to them in any way. They were far from any defects. They were the purest and the most perfect family the world has ever seen or will ever see. It is recorded in Sahih Muslim, Muslim Sharif, that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen Ganana from the progeny of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, the Quraysh from Ganana, the Banu Hashim from the Quraysh, and has chosen and elevated me from amongst them. Subhanallah, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is recorded in Mishkat Sharif, chapter Fadailu Sayyidil Mursaleen. Therefore, it is said that لَهُ النَّسْبُ الْعَالِي فَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ حَسِيبٌ نَسِيبٌ مُنْعَمٌ مُتَكَرَّمٌ. Subhanallah, that the ancestry of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is of such prominence that no other respected family can even come near and match. Subhanallah. It is matchless, this family and the ancestry of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now time and time again, we hear about Quraysh. What is Quraysh? What is the meaning of Quraysh? Quraysh, amongst the distinguished of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's family, is Fahr bin Malik, this personality. And he was actually first given the title of Quraysh. Thus, his descendants, those who came after him, were known as Qurayshi. Now Quraysh itself, this word, originally is the name of an animal which stays in the ocean, an aquatic animal, a sea animal. It is very powerful, commanding, it commands great respect, and consumes other fish in the ocean, in the sea. It is said that it has never been subdued or vanquished, always victorious. This title was bestowed upon Fahr bin Malik by the Arab tribes. Accordingly, it is mentioned that Quraysh is an animal that lives in the ocean, and the tribe of Quraysh has been named after it. Because the paternal and maternal genealogies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam converge at Fahr bin Malik, he is therefore Qurayshi from both parents, his beloved mother, Bibi Sayyidah Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and his beloved father, Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, another word that we hear many a times is Hashim. What is Hashim? Who is Hashim? Who is called Hashim? He was the great grandfather of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and his original name was Amr. Sayyidina Hashim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a person who had an extraordinary character and was well known in Makkatul Mukarramah for his bravery. He was Bahadur, very courageous, very brave, and also his generosity was indeed very high. He was a great host. Once in the Arab Peninsula, there was a severe drought, and this caused the people to be in desperate need of food, for even the smallest grains of food that was available. They were in great need, dire need, because of this intense drought. Sayyidina Hashim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu traveled all the way to Sham, to Syria. He bought dry bread and he brought it back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Zadahu Allahu sharafan wa ta'zima. What did he do then? He took this dry pieces of bread and he cut them up into slices, into little pieces. And with this, he added the meat of a camel. He sacrificed a camel and he gave the meat with this, and he made it into a sareed. He took the dry bread in two pieces with the meat of camel and he made sareed. The people of Makkah, Ahlu Makkah, and the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, those who come for Hajj, who were present there, they were fed with this, and from this noble act, he became known as Hashim by all those who were around him. And Hashim means a person who divides bread. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Hashim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was also made the custodian of the Kaaba, the grand Kaaba. He was made the custodian of this after his father Abd Manaf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, as he was the eldest amongst the sons. His appearance was very, very handsome, very attractive and handsome appearance. He later married Salma, the daughter of Amr, and he was the leader of the Khazraj tribe in Madinatul Munawwara. Zadahullahu sharafu wa ta'zima. It was in this city that Hashim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his son Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was born. And who was Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib? He was the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Hashim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu passed away at the age of just 25 years old at a place called Ghazah, whilst journeying to Syria, to Sham, leaving Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to spend his childhood in Madinatul Munawwara. And this was the city of his paternal grandfather. Later, he returned to Makkatul Mukarramah to live with his father's family at the age of 7 or 8. Now, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his original name was Shaybah. His original name. He was a very pious and just person, adil, very just. And he would spend most of his time in the cave of Hira, in the ibadat and worshipping of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he would only take with him a little bit of food and water, whatever was necessary, he would take along with him to engage in constant ibadat and worshipping of Allah Azza wa Jal in the cave of Hira. Here he used to perform i'tikaf during Ramadan, and he remained lost in the zikr and the remembrance of his creator, Al-Khaliq, Allah Azza wa Jal. the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the light of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, emanated from his blessed forehead, subhanallah, and from his body was the fragrance of musk. Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was highly respected by the Arab people, especially by the Quraysh. Whenever any calamity of severe drought afflicted them, the people of Makkah, Ahlul Makkah, they would take him to the mountain top and they would supplicate, they would make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal using his wasila. Using his wasila and medium, they used to make dua, and any dua made in this way was then accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandfather, the paternal grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, strongly prevented and stopped the people from burying their daughters alive. Now here, think about it. This was a very nasty and evil custom in pre-Islamic Arabia. Before the Nurullah, light from Allah Azza wa Jal, light of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam came into this dunya and brightened it, removed the darkness, this evil practice was there. A custom, in fact, the rasmu riwaj of the Arabs of that time, during the period of Jahiliyyah and ignorance, they would take their innocent daughters and they would bury them alive. Imagine, Islam came to uproot these kind of evils and sins and wicked practices and actions were there. Islam came to demolish these things, in fact to give rights to all humanity, to men, to women, to brothers, to sisters, to mothers, to fathers, to creation, to animals even. Subhanallah, this is Islam, to bring peace in our lives and to bring that much needed happiness that we all desire. And this was sent from Allah Azza wa Jal in the form of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us back on this natural path, this straight path of believing in Allah Azza wa Jal and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu used to stop the people severely that do not do this wicked act. He should prevent them from burying their daughters alive. Also, he had this very good habit of feeding birds, and therefore he had a title that was given to him in relation to this, that Mut'imut Tayr, the feeder of birds, due to him liking this to feed the birds. Look at his, not just humanity, but his care and his mercy that he used to show and his concern for the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He treated liquor, khamr, wine, alcohol, intoxicants, and even zina, fornication and adultery as haram, strictly prohibited. And he was a muwahid in belief. His aqidah was of a muwahid. That is one who believed in the tawheed, in the wahdaniyah, in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. The well of Zamzam, subhanallah. What can we say about Zamzam Sharif? This very pure, holy water was also in his responsibility. And to repair it was his responsibility, and he would distribute Zamzam Sharif water to the people as well. The incident of Ashab Fil occurred during his lifetime, and Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away at the age, ripe old age, of 120 years old. Now just here, if you could pause for a moment. Zamzam Sharif, our ulama al-kiram, they have mentioned that two waters we should stand and drink because of its holiness. One is this Zamzam Sharif. If somebody offers you, or if you have the fortune to bring to Makkah al-Mukarramah or Madinah al-Munawwara, drink as you can. And it's reported in some of hadith that the munafiq, the hypocrite, cannot fill his stomach full of Zamzam Sharif. So if you are there, drink as much as you can, your stomach full of Zamzam Sharif. And another narration has mentioned that whatever intention you are drinking Zamzam Sharif for, this is what it will be for. So if you make intention, if you make dua, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me cure, grant me whatever good it is, inshallah ta'ala, through the sadqa and medium of that Zamzam Sharif, you will attain whatever it is and receive it, inshallah ta'ala. Therefore, whatever intention and dua you make, Zamzam Sharif is for that. So Zamzam Sharif, this water, we should stand and drink facing the Qibla. And if we are making wudu with a utensil, then whatever water is remaining, it is preferable to stand and drink that water as well. These two waters, preferably, we should stand and drink. It is sunnah, in fact, to stand and drink Zamzam Sharif. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we had mentioned about the incident of Ashab al-Fil, the people of the elephant. Listen, be amazed, but also take lessons from this, so we may implement in our life. The king of Yemen, Abraha, he had devised a wicked plan, na'udhu billahi min zalik, to attack the Holy Kaaba. And how would he do this? With an army of elephants. And this would happen just 55 days before the blessed birth and arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. His plan was to destroy the Kaaba and to divert the Hujjaj and the pilgrims from Makkah al-Mukarramah from the Kaaba Sharif in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he had built an enormous cathedral that was built by him in Sana'a. Therefore, he wanted to divert them from Makkah Sharif, from Kaaba Sharif to Sana'a, where he had built this huge place of worship in Sana'a in Yemen. When Ahlu Makkah, when the people of Makkah, they were informed of this, one of them traveled to this place of worship and in a fit of rage began defiling it by urinating and excreting in this area. When Abraha came to know of this, he lost his temper and he set forth with an army of elephants, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, to attack Makkah Sharif in particular with the intention of destroying the Holy Kaaba. Now, when his army had reached the city, they confiscated many camels and cattle of the Quraysh, from which 200 to 400 belonged to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was saddened to hear of Abraha's action and approached him personally in his camp to discuss this matter. When Abraha came to know that the leader of the Quraysh had come to meet with him, he immediately invited him to his personal tent. Seeing this person from whose forehead once shone the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the king became instantly impressed by him and declined and came down from his throne in respect, making Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu sit on the floor. And he asked, O leader of the Quraysh, for what reason do you come here? He replied, I have come to ask for the camels and the cattle which your soldiers had confiscated from us to be returned. This was the answer of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abraha became surprised and said, you are very peculiar and have lowered the respect that I had for you. I have come to destroy your Kaaba, and yet you speak of your livelihood, you speak about the return of your camels, of your cattle, of your animals only. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied, listen carefully, I only come to discuss my property with you. The Kaaba belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, not me, and He will save what belongs to Him. Subhanallah. Look at his yaqeen and his conviction and his total absolute reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, his trust. This king Abraha then said, Abdul Muttalib, I have definitely come to destroy every brick of your Kaaba, every brick of it. I will decimate and abolish it to such an extent that it will seem as if it never existed. I intend doing so because your people have made a mockery of my monument in Sana'a in Yemen, and for this I shall take revenge. The grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, replied, do as you wish. This is between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Who am I to plead with you not to do so? After saying this, the king ordered for all the camels and cattle to be returned to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When he arrived, he addressed the people. When Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came back, he told them, that, O people of Makkah, take your belongings and go into the caves of the mountains. He then departed for the Kaaba Sharif with a few of his family members. And upon reaching there, he grasped the doors of the Kaaba and made dua. La humma innal mar'a yamna'u rahlah famna' rihalak wansur ala ali salibi wa abidihi al-yawma alak. And O Allah Azza wa Jal, every individual certainly protects his house, so protect yours and help your people against the worshippers of the cross. Now, after making this dua, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu took his family members towards the mountain areas in order to witness the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. At the break of dawn, the King Abraha with his soldiers and his elephants, they proceeded to the holy Kaaba to carry out their wicked plan of destroying it. Na'udhu billahi min dharik. When they reached a place called Maghmas, the elephant upon which Abraha was sitting suddenly sat down. It was therefore prodded. They tried to move it, but it remained motionless. And when this occurred, a flock of sparrows appeared, a barbeel, each with a pebble in its claw and its beak, to carry out the adab and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. They began to pelt the army of Abraha, and a true display of the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has been reported that every pebble, every stone which fell upon a soldier pierced through his body and cut through the elephant that he was riding on, resulting in Abraha with no other option but to retreat and to leave behind the pieces, the shredded and cut up pieces of the bodies of his soldiers and of the elephants as well. In this manner, the Kaaba Sharif was saved by Allah Azza wa Jal from Abraha's plan. Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in the glorious Quran regarding this incident, the very famous surah as well, Surah Fil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil? Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil wa arsala 'alayhim tayran ababil tarmihim bihijaratin min sijjil faj'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O beloved, have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephant? Did he not cause their plan to be ruined? And he set against them flocks of birds, pelting them with stones of baked clay, and thus made them like broken straw eaten up. After the army of Abraha retreated, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came down from the mountain areas with his family and offered thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal for this. This karama, this miracle, became famous amongst all the tribes of Arabia, and they began to show more respect to him as one who is close and beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. Can we see how many lessons are there for us? It doesn't matter if a person is a superpower, if a person has super strength, if a person is brave and has muscular strength, but still, in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the only people of real strength and value are those who are the muttaqeen, who are those who are pious ones, who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Dear brothers and sisters, dear viewers of Madani channel, indeed, if we fear Allah Azza wa Jal, then creation will fear us, if we have the right intentions, the right niyat as well. But alas, afsos, unfortunately, nowadays, because this khawf-e khuda, because this fear of Allah Azza wa Jal has been removed from our hearts, because the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his love, has been removed from our hearts. Therefore, we dabble in sins. We drown ourselves in sinning, in disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and his Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What happens to us? We go further and further into sinning. And ulama have said, it can happen that because of a person's constant sinning, that person could lose his iman at the time of death. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us, our iman, keep it intact, give us a good maut, a good death with iman in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwarah. Grant us burial in Jannatul Baqi. Keep us in the company of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Please do join us next time, inshallah ta'ala, for more on the seerah and the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We will discuss the parents of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and others, inshallah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.